on ABC Radio Melbourne. You're with Rochelle Hunt.
Now, I'm pretty sure that Danny Valenta, our resident foodie, would have a sharp knife in order to carve a pumpkin or a turnip, thank you, Claire, for Halloween, because we don't see as many pumpkins out. There's lots of cobwebs and fake spiders and zombies.
Yeah.
But the pumpkin lantern thing is not that big here. But I think it would be quite dangerous and difficult to carve.
Because you really got to get in. I think it's the first cut is the hardest, isn't it? Because you got to get in there and get that shape and then, yeah.
I can't even cut like whole pumpkin, even just trying to chop one up for soup is hard enough.
No, but the carving pumpkins are different. So they are softer and
they?
The way that they're particular, so they've got less going on inside. So once you get in there, you don't have to keep stabbing. It's just like, you know, it gets easier once you get through the skin. So the skin's a little bit softer. So they are easier to carve, a little bit more chalky than your regular eating pumpkin. You wouldn't want to eat a Halloween pumpkin.
So are they grown specifically? I'm going to sound like an idiot here. They are for Halloween.
Yeah. Right. If you see the ones around that they're called carving pumpkins or Halloween pumpkins, and they're a brighter orange. They're that uniform, you know, that head shape with the stalk at the top. So they do have that distinctive look where they look like they're just waiting to have some triangle shaped teeth carved into them.
See, I would have gone out and bought a Kent or a butternut, and
yeah, well, you would have been having a very, very difficult October 31. You would have still, if the sun would have gone down, you would have still been there, like carving it up and cursing your knives and probably being that scary lady as kids came to the door asking for their treats. You're like, hang on a minute. It's just busy with my pumpkin here.
You've knocked on my door at Halloween. You know, our street has embraced it now, but around 5 years ago, it wasn't so much, but the kids have got a bit older. But I remember distinctly 5 years ago, October, so Audrey would have only have been a couple of months old. So,
right.
You know, you're a sleep-deprived, crazy woman. And someone rang the doorbell. And I'm like, who on earth is ringing my doorbell? You know, I'm in a world of pain here. And there was two little girls dressed as zombies trick-or-treating. But I had nothing in the house.
So give them an almond or something.
All I had was Parmesan.
They would have just loved that.
It was good Parmesan, Danny.
I'm sure it was. So, yeah, it hurt you. Although they would have been a little bit bewildered. I remember trick-or-treating when I was a kid. So, you know, a few decades ago, very optimistically going up my street when no one was doing Halloween, and it is that, like, you know, who are these people bothering us? And I do think we got a few almonds and perhaps like an old licorice all sort.
Scotch finger.
Yeah, actually, that rings a bell. So, yeah.
I'd be happy if I got a scotch finger.
Well, I would too, as long as I had a cup of tea to go with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, perhaps my trick-or-treating days are behind me.
But you have learnt a thing or two about Day of the Dead. You've just come back from Mexico.
Yeah, so Halloween and Mexico's celebration, which is at the same time but unrelated, Day of the Dead, it starts tonight as well and goes for 2 days. So it's different to Halloween. Like, it does have that association with, you know, skeletons and spookiness, but in Mexico it's a celebration of ancestors, and it doesn't have the sort of ghoulish associations, even though, you know, the skulls are everywhere. And there's pan de muerto, which translates as bread of the dead, which is a very traditional snack or bread at this time of year in Mexico. And it's basically a delicious brioche loaf sort of scented with orange and anise, and it's got pastry baubles draped over the top. Or just, you know, you make bone shapes over the bread and put that across, so it's sort of like a skull and crossbones.
And did you get to make some?
Yes, I made some. I ate some. Recipes on my website, dannyvalent.com. Check it out. It's delicious. I mean, I would have it any time of year. And in fact, the culinary expert that I spoke to in Mexico about it said that you can now get it all through the year in Mexico just because people love it so much. And traditional
way. Brioche has kind of become, you know, it was once a specialty type. So, I mean, if you just look at how quickly brioche has taken off here in this country,
yes,
you can see why there it would be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just delicious. So fluffy, buttery.
It's just cake, yeah. Described, like, disguised as a roll.
That's it, disguised as a cultural artifact. So, yeah.
Some text from Sally. You need to buy a special pumpkin carving knife to carve the Halloween pumpkin. True story, they have them in the States. It makes it so much easier. And Rish, the Halloween pumpkins are not for eating. They would have been fed to farm animals, pigs, etc. They're not specifically bred just for that particular type. Thank you.
That's it.
1300 222 774. You can share your carving stories. But is there a specific Halloween food? I know we're going to talk Mexico in just a moment. I did a little Google and there was, you know, funny food came up like eyeball tacos and witch finger biscuits.
Yes. And spider things.
Spider and, deviled eggs.
Yeah. And I don't know of any traditional pumpkin food apart from those ones that touch on that, the spooky themes. So, yeah, I'm not sure about that. But definitely, yeah, a lot of, eyeball stuff, a lot of severed limb type things, a lot of things with dripping blood.
Yeah, lots of strawberry jam and tomato sauce. And
yeah. Yeah.
So what did you eat in Mexico?
Well, I basically ate everything. I barely dipped a toe into Mexico City. I was only there for a week, but I think I did enough eating to last the normal person for a month. So I ate everything I could and was particularly interested in trying Mexican ingredients that you really don't see in Australia. So I was focused on finding some particular herbs that I wanted to try. So epazote is one that you see in a lot of Mexican recipes and you just don't see it here.
And what is it? What sort of herb is it?
So it's there are many different varieties. So the ones that I tracked down, I plucked three different varieties from a chef who had a greenhouse. And it's a little bit like oregano, a little bit of mint, but it's almost got this sort of tarry sort of back note, almost creosote, which makes it sound kind of yucky. But mixed in with those really fragrant herby flavours, it's just delicious.
And what would you use it in? What sort of recipes?
Yeah, so you can put in everything. So in really simple sautés. So the chef Edgar Nunez that I was working with did it with, he sautéed some beautiful like forest mushrooms and then broke up some epazote and put that through it just with a tiny bit of garlic. And I said, well, what would I do back in Australia if I didn't have epazote? He said, cry. I was like, okay.
But it's an interesting point. I remember years ago going searching for good traditional Mexican food. It's more available now.
It's definitely
everywhere.
Yes.
But, you know, in the 90s, for example, you had those chain type stores.
Right.
I think there was one store in Bridge Road that may still be there where you could get quite authentic Mexican food. But for a very long time, it wasn't really around.
And
here.
Look, it is much more available now, especially the preserved foods, like so the dried chilies or the, you know, the tinned corn and those kinds of things. But for the fresh stuff, I mean, there are so many indigenous Mexican ingredients that you just don't see here. There's another one that I was very focused on, which is huitlacoche, and that is a fungus that overtakes corn. So it basically makes the corn go moldy and look really gross, almost Frankenstein-y corny.
Yeah, Halloween corn.
Exactly. It'd be perfect for Halloween. It makes it go really, it looks really moldy and like it's been infested, which it has. But this fungus is prized. So if, you know, an Australian farmer going out into their cornfield and seeing it infested with a fungus would not be doing a happy dance. But in Mexico, they do because their corn has instantly become more valuable. It's got this really funky, truffly sort of flavour.
And what do you do? I mean, do you scrape that off and it's just made the corn have a particular flavour or do you eat the funkiness?
It basically takes over the corn. So there's basically no corn. There's just huitlacoche,
right,
which is this corn. Corn smut or fungus.
Oh, so you don't peel it back and there's yellow.
It just is what it is. So you see it in the markets and it's basically
the bottom of my refrigerator.
it's a bit bottom of the fridgey when you look at it because it's these sort of misshapen corn kernels that are blue and, you know, so it's I know that your face is
I like stinky food. So
right.
I'm good with that.
Okay, so you can do it with, you can do all kinds of things with it. I had it stuffed inside a zucchini flour and then, you know, gently fried, or you can have it mixed through, mixed through any sort of vegetable sauté, or it could be a seasoning for a taco. So it's just adds a real roundness and flavour bomb to a lot of different dishes.
So you were hanging out with lots of chefs because, you know, you have your way into these circles, Danny Valente. But what about street food in Mexico?
What's
it like?
Goodness.
I could imagine it's awesome.
So vibrant, just so much energy. And that's the thing that got me, is just walking through the markets or walking along the streets, just the energy, the vibrancy, the different things that you find. So a couple of my favourite street food things that I found, one of them is so simple, it's going to be my summer go-to and everybody can do this. So it's just people selling mango and watermelon or other types of melon on the street, just already cut up, and then they will sprinkle over it lime, chili and salt.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And then just walk along eating it on a nice sunny day, and it is just so good.
Lime, chili, salt.
Simple, right?
Yeah. How much fresh chili, dried chili?
Dried chili, so chili powder. And it just takes it to another place. It's just great, so good, and like nice cold icy fruit with those little just condiments, so good. Another one that I just absolutely loved was you walk along the streets and you hear this steam whistle.
Mm.
You're like, what is that?
Yeah, what's going on?
Is there a train? Like, what's going on? And it is a cart, so a hand-pushed cart that has a fire in the base, and this fire drives a steam whistle. And when you hear that whistle, you know that it is the sweet potato guy. So he's pushing his steam-driven, well, he's driving the cart, but there is a steam-driven whistle that
and
emanates from it.
And sweet potato guy?
He's roasting sweet potatoes. Oh. So you cut them open, you put them on a little plate. He drizzles them with sweetened condensed milk or evaporated milk.
Ooh,
so it's like
okay.
a dessert.
You had me up until then. Oh, so it's a dessert.
Well, you could say hold the milk, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I would. But then...
or you can have it with a banana. Is that...
Oh, really?
Plantain? No. Anyway.
So I'm a sweet potato fan and banana.
Yeah.
Hey,
one or the
judge?
Other, one or the other, okay. But delicious and so fun. And you just walk along eating that.
I'm sure he's not the only dude. Is there lots of sweet potato dudes dotted around Mexico?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. It's a sound. It's like, you know, you hear the...
Like the ice cream man.
Well, it's like the ice cream. Exactly. It's like the ice cream man, but it's the sweet potato man.
I'd be happier with the sweet potato man.
I think I would be as well. I don't know if you'd get kids lining up or pestering. I don't know if there's much pester power associated with the sweet potato, but in my mind, very delicious.
Some text. It's coming in 0437 774 774 of spooky food that people have made and taken to work today. So I made a flayed man cheese ball for my work lunch today. Tasty. So this looks like it looks like a spooky face, and then there's some bickies and bits and bobs around the face. It's very good. Well done, Megan. Question for you, Danny, saying, did Danny try and did she have an authentic slow long cooked chicken mole?
Yes, I did. Mm. So
that was just so matter of fact. Yes.
Well, I did. I made it my point to investigate the mole. So mole, it means sauce, and it basically it can be many, many different types of sauces. It's the kind of thing where everybody's grandmother will do a different one. Every region of Mexico will have different types of moles. So they come in different colors. They come in different with different combinations. But they're basically a very, very complex chili sauce. It's probably got nuts in it. It's got spices. It's got dried fruits. Mm. It might have chocolate. And I went to a restaurant which specialised in the food from Oaxaca, which is not where I was, but a region not that far from Mexico City. And, tried six different moles and it's just the complex flavours are like
and
just
how long
sweep
when it
you
says
up.
Slow cooked? How slow is slow?
Yeah, I don't exactly know how long that one would have cooked for, but you'd think it would have been bubbling away all day. Just beautiful.
Sue in Ocean Grove, here's a picture of my witch fingers for Halloween. Dip the ends in red jam for that blood look. Shortbread and almonds. They're very good witch fingers, Sue. Please keep those coming in. You can text 0437 774 774. It's 7 minutes away from three. Danny Valente is with you. Is the stereotype of Mexican food here, you know, tacos, burritos, you know, refried beans, jalapenos, how much of what we know of Mexican food here is what's actually eaten in
Mexico?
Yeah,
well, a lot of what we see in Melbourne and, you know, particularly that sort of, you know, the tacos and the burritos and that sort of stuff, it's more Tex-Mex, so it's more the food from the other side of the border, which has its place. Like, it's a legitimate cuisine. It doesn't need to be, you know, dismissed as lesser, but it's certainly different and it's not necessarily what people are eating in Mexico. So burritos are unknown in Mexico City, but definitely tacos, but different types of tacos and more the corn tortillas. So the corn is treated in a particular way. It's treated with lime and it gives it a special flavour. It unlock some of the nutrients. You can get those special corn tortillas here in Melbourne now. There are people making them, but
see more and more of them, don't you?
You do.
Delis and even supermarkets.
Yeah, amazing because it's a gluten-free tortilla as well, which is something that a lot of people are looking for. But so the wheat tortilla is something that's a little less common, but also you can find it. So I mean, I think we definitely are getting some really good Mexican food here, and there's a lot of Australian chefs that are spending time in Mexico and coming back and doing a really awesome job. Mm. But I think everyone would agree that you just cannot get all the ingredients. So when it comes to some of those fresh flavours, you just probably should get on a plane.
This one says, you're welcome, hipsters. I used to make a dirty ashtray for my Mexican kitchen hands when working at a bar in New York. Squeeze lime on top of a beer can, don't open it yet, then chili sauce, salt and pepper, then open the can so that it flows into the can. Dirty ashtray, Boom, you're welcome, hipsters.
I love that. That sounds great.
That's a great title as well.
It's really
good.
Would you
like a dirty ashtray? No, I'm fine, thanks. How could I say no?
Yeah. Now, there's great drinks. What that gentleman is talking about sounds a little bit similar to a Michelada, which is a beer where you've got salt on the glass and lime in it, which is great, so nice and refreshing.
If you've been to Mexico and you've tried the cuisine there, I'd love to hear your stories. 1-300-222-774. I actually went to Mexico when I was 5, so I can't remember a lot of it. I have these vague memories of meeting a little boy, a little Mexican boy, but he was working, he was selling chewing gum.
Yeah, right.
And I was really confused. I wanted to be friends with him. I wanted him to come and play. And I was like, Mum, what's going on? Why is he working? And then I think the strongest memory is my dad in the 80s basically looked like Magnum P.I., you know, tall. I'm not joking.
Okay.
Like the big Mo hair, 6'4". He's a country boy. And so when he was in Mexico and in Mexico City, he cruised around in a massive oversized sombrero.
Great. But you were probably too young to be embarrassed.
I was.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe I was even then thinking, Dad, really?
My husband is prone to a bit of an accent. He sort of can't help himself.
You pick it
and
up.
We did get one "Sí, señor" at the airport from him, and I was like, babe,
no.
Let's really try to rein that in.
A question saying, Danny, did you feel like it was dangerous in Mexico?
Oh, absolutely not. No, honestly, Mexico City is, I mean, look, there are so many different parts to it and there are places that you, honestly, no, I felt incredibly safe. The neighbourhood that I was staying in, which is Condesa, it felt like Paris. It was beautiful. It was leafy. It was, you know, street life at all times. And I just thought it was fantastic. I know that there are areas of Mexico that you would perhaps think twice about or you'd be careful about. You might not walk around by yourself at night. But no, I felt absolutely safe. I was there with my family and we just all loved it.
At some of the markets you tried, I love markets in another country. There's things where you go, you know what, I wouldn't eat a grasshopper at home, but hey, When in Rome,
I was walking around with a bag of grasshoppers drizzled with some lime and they were delicious.
Crunchy?
Crunchy, yes. I mean, there's a definite lack of squeamishness about, you know, about eating insects, about, you know, pig's heads and tripe and all those kinds of things, just normal.
Karen, you spent some time in Mexico a few times.
Yeah, it was actually a few years ago, but we spent about 6 weeks travelling in Mexico. The most awesome place in the world to travel, the friendliest, most wonderful, welcoming people, and the food was amazing.
What did you love about it?
Oh, look, it's so different to the Tex-Mex we get here. There were a lot more sort of slow-cooked meals and just the flavours and the freshness. And we actually came home and planted a lime tree because everything, literally everything had lime.
That's so true. Yeah. Lime is everywhere.
I know. And now when they're $3 each, I nearly had a heart attack. It should be illegal.
Absolutely. And, you know, Danny, I can't agree with you more. It was just the most amazing place to travel. And I recommend it to anyone. The food is amazing.
Isn't it great? Oh, I'm so glad.
Thanks, Karen. Good on you. Hi, Gregory.
Hi there. You just talk about memories of being in Mexico. This was a few years ago, but I was with friends who are locals who used to live here in Australia, and they sort of became part of my family. And I went to visit them, and they returned to Mexico after about 15 years in Australia. And we went mountain climbing just out of Mexico. I can't remember the mountain, but we went up to about 6,000 metres. But
wow.
At about 5,500 metres, this elderly, I say elderly, I mean, I was in my 30s, he must have been in his 50s. Guy came down the mountain walking towards us, and I'm not joking, he was in shorts, an open shirt, what looked like the equivalent of Mexican thongs, and a beer.
Classic.
And he had walked up, there was a car park, you could walk up part of the mountain, but he just kept strolling up. Now, we were in sort of full gear, it was snowing, it was icy. He was just wandering back down the mountain.
Oh, that's such a great image, Gregory. Thank you. Just like, what are you blokes doing? Who wants a beer? Was everything spicy in Mexico, Danny?
No, not at all. No. I mean, you certainly can find a lot with chili in it, but a lot of the Mexican chilies, they're more sort of a warm heat and a smoky heat. So a lot of dried chilies that are used, and there's definitely flavour to them, but they're not necessarily going to blow your head off.
I've got little bits of saliva running down here. I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's all go.
Let's eat. Let's all go. Can we get many of these recipes? I know we can get Bread of the Dead on Danny Valente's website.
Pan de Muerto's there, and I'll be putting up more recipes as the weeks go by. Definitely so inspired.
Thank you. And, yeah, just don't wear a sombrero while you're doing it.
No, señor.
Dani Valente, thank you so much. DaniValente.com. If you'd like to see some of the images, some of her travels, some of her recipes from Mexico, that's where you can go.